said. I can enlighten you further if you wish.
Dr. Talos glanced at me, his eyes sparkling.
Why, that would be pleasant, but we must make one proviso. We will speak only of the wall and those who dwell in it, which is to say, we will ask you no questions concerning yourself, and you likewise will return that courtesy to us.
The stranger pushed back his battered hat, and I saw that in place of his right hand he wore a jointed contrivance of steel.
You have understood me better than I wanted, as the man said when he looked in the mirror. I admit I'd hoped to ask you why you traveled with the Carnifex, and why this lady, the loveliest I've ever seen, is walking in the dust.
Jolenta released his stirrup strap and said, You're poor, good man, from the look of you, and no longer young. It hardly suits you to inquire of me. Even in the shadow of the gate, I saw the flush of blood creep into the stranger's cheeks. All she had said was true. His clothes were worn and travel-stained, though not so dirty as Hedor's. His face had been lined and coarsened by the wind. For perhaps a dozen steps he did not reply, but at last he began. His voice was flat, and neither high nor deep, but possessed of a dry humor.
In the old times, the lords of this world feared no one but their own people, and to defend themselves against them, built a great fortress on a hilltop to the north of the city. It was not called Nessus then, for the river was unpoisoned. Many other people were angry at the building of that citadel, holding it to be their right to slay their lords without hindrance if they so desired. But others went out in the ships that ply between the stars, returning with treasure and knowledge. In time there returned a woman who had gained nothing among them but a handful of black beans.
Ah, said Dr. Talos,
you are a professional tale-teller.
I wish you had informed us of it from the beginning, for we, as you must have seen, are something the same.
Jonah shook his head.
No, this is the only tale I know, or nearly so.
He looked down at Jolenta.
May I continue, most marvelous of women?
My attention was distracted by the sight of daylight ahead of us, and by the disturbance among the vehicles that clogged the road as many sought to turn back, flailing their teams and trying to clear a path with their whips.
She displayed the beans to the lords of men, and told them that unless she were obeyed, she would cast them into the sea, and so put an end to the world. They had her seized and torn to bits, for they were 100 times more complete in their domination than our Autarch.
May he endure to see the new sun, Jolenta murmured. Dorcas tightened her grip on my arm and asked, Why are they so frightened? Then screamed and buried her face in her hands as the iron tip of a lash flicked her cheek. I pressed past the Merikip's head, seized the ankle of the wagoneer who had struck her, and pulled him from his seat. By that time all the gate was ringing with bawling and swearing, and the cries of the injured, and the bellowings of frightened animals. And if the stranger continued his tale, I could not hear it. The driver I pulled down must have died at once.
Because I had wished to impress Dorcas, I had hoped to perform the excruciation we call two apricots, but he had fallen under the feet of the travelers and the heavy wheels of the carts. Even his screams were lost.
Here I pause, having carried you, reader, from gate to gate, from the locked and fog-shrouded gate of our necropolis to this gate with its curling wisps of smoke. This gate, which is perhaps the largest in existence, perhaps the largest ever to exist. It was by entering that first gate that I set my feet upon the road that brought me to this second gate. And surely when I entered this second gate, I began again to walk a new road. From that great gate forward, for a long time, it was to lie outside the city imperishable, and among the forests and grasslands, mountains and jungles of the north. Here I pause. If you wish to walk no farther with me, reader, I cannot blame you. It is no easy road.
This has been an Audible Frontiers production. Executive producer, Steve Feldberg. Producer, Mike Charzik. Production coordinator, Kat Lambricks. Music by Michael Whalen. Copyright 1980 by Gene Wolfe. Audio recording copyright 2009 by Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.